going to just present WAW to you today. We just got back from overseas another conference, women's conference in Georgia, and it was just so precious. So we're going to share a little bit of that with you. We got a few videos we're going to let go. You know, they're not long, and so everything's going to be in segments today. And we were able to take four of our girls with us. My goodness, I wish I could take all of you. It is so powerful. And they got to meet some leaders and some precious women that they're just like we are. Only we live in a different situation than they do, but they just soak it all up. And we had a marvelous time. Each one of our girls that went, Missy didn't get to go with us and Sarah didn't get to go. But I'm still believing that there will be a time where they will get to go with us. And because they work hard all year long to do what we do in women's ministry. And I'm so grateful for them. And I'm so grateful for the women and the men of this church that you are behind the scenes a lot. But you work really hard for the mission projects that we have in this church. And we have more than going overseas. We have missions projects here in our cities, in our area. So we'll share a little bit of that. But I'm going to just bring them up and ask them. We gave them each one 10 minutes. And so just if it goes over 10 minutes, just mute them back there and they'll hush. Okay? But I know that they're so full. God has just done so many things. But we ask them to share. And this is the order. They each had a session. And so we're going to start in the order. And the reason that we start with Carissa is because Carissa has been my sidekick for now. Was this your third, fourth trip? Fourth trip. Been with me going to Georgia and then going to Tanzania and Kenya. And she just answered the call. And God has said, and she just said yes. So we asked her to come first because she's bowed and we had her speak first so the other girls could sit there and maybe say, oh, I can do this. But I just love this sweet, sweetheart. She is, she's a daughter. God's given me some really beautiful daughters in this ministry. And I'm so grateful for you. So share with us.
Hello? Okay, there. All right, Dara just said that she could go, and we all cried. So I went first so they could see how it goes, but I'm like, I don't know if I'm a good example because I talk so fast. But it wasn't bad, right, girls? It was fine, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to set my timer because you know me, right? So I'm going to set it. Okay, all right, so I am so thankful. I was so thankful for the opportunity to go and after speaking, I could totally see the whole time, God, even before we went, we were in conference, God was doing so many things. So I could totally see why the enemy was fighting so hard for us to get there. Like physically, we all were a mess, except Dara, she was pretty good. but the enemy was fighting so hard and so many things. And he was doing such a work. God was doing such a work even before we left. And I told the kids Wednesday night, it was so neat that I asked the loft. God prompted me to ask the loft to pray that the finances would come in. This was the Wednesday before we left. I still didn't have the money to go. And I didn't have the message. So the message I was going to speak, I'm like, that's the most important thing. You know, I'm like, the money, God will get that. You know, I know. But I'm like, God, what do I do? And so I'm so thankful that those kids gathered together and they prayed. And that night before I left church, I had all the money for my trip. I'm like so thankful for that. And it was just you guys being obedient to what God is speaking. And so many of the people that gave said, I was just following what God spoke to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. And it's just so humbling because, you know, I can do it myself type thing. But when you're coming before God and he's called you to do something and he puts you out there, you have to be vulnerable to what he wants you to do. And that's including your story, you know. I got up to speak and God gave me a message that Friday night. It's kind of crazy, like at 2 o'clock in the morning, my brother and I are on the phone and God gave me a message through something that I was actually teaching about. And my son came to visit and I was actually going to teach, I taught about my kids not honoring God. So I told him, Bella wanted us to give our testimony, but I'm giving the testing part because the money will come later. But, we all have a great testimony, but we're all going through stuff, right? And so my kids are not honoring God now, and so I shared that. That's very hard for me. As soon as I got up there, I started crying because it's so hard for me to talk about that because I'm a youth pastor, and the enemy tries to tell me, who do you think you are? Your kids don't even serve God. And so I knew that I knew that that's what I was supposed to speak, so I did, and we only had so many minutes, so I tried to cut a lot out. But I tell you what, guys, it was so amazing. The Holy Spirit just took over, and I'm like, I don't know. I was praying, and she's like, Krista, pray. So I had them all stand and pray, and I'm like, what's even happening right now? I sat down, and I'm like, I don't even know what I just said, but it was so beautiful. The way that God just orchestrated all of it. And it was so amazing to go with the girls, and none of us really talked about, usually when pastors and I go too, we don't really say, this is what I'm teaching about, and go through the whole message. We just kind of do our own thing. And it's so amazing how God orchestrated all of it. So I talked about my kids not serving God today and how I made that foundation for them. And I brought them to church and, you know, raised them to know Christ and to, you know, just to follow God, and how the enemy's stealing all that from them now. But then Dara was next. She got up and talked about kids. And then so did Tiffany and Christy. And like, it was like, we all talked about kids, whether we have kids that aren't serving God or we couldn't have kids, or the struggle getting, you know, your child today. And it was like so beautiful. I think we bawled the whole time, really, you know? But it was so beautiful seeing each of them speak. It was so beautiful how God just used them. And it was so neat. Tiffany and Dara, I've been on trips with Christy before, but not like a mission trip. So it was so neat to get to go with you guys. And God just showed up in such a mighty way. And I'm sitting there like just looking around at all these women just crying. And just like sitting there, just taking notes and just bawling. And there's so many of them that would come up and say, and the translator started laughing after so many, because they would say that they're like, you came here to me. They said, you came here just for me. And I'm like, okay. And then another woman say that, but I'm like, so thankful, because I didn't know. I just said, God, use me. You know, I'm being available to you. So whatever you want me to speak is what I want to speak. And I want to minister, God, because you know where their heart is at. I don't. And so many of them come up and said, and I actually got to minister to, I mean, people that could be my mom and my grandma. And they said that they're fighting with their kids and all this. And I just told them, you know, there's no point in fighting. Just show them Jesus, you know. And one of them said she got physical with her kid. And I said, you know what? It's more about what you don't say than what you say, which Pastor Darlene, that's what I kept saying. She's taught me that. And so many times I just want to beat my kids over that. Like, what are you doing? But I take those teachable moments. And that Friday night before I left, my son and his girlfriend were at my house, and she began to tell my son, or my brother was ministering, you know, and me and my son were in the other room, and we come and walked in, and she was telling my brother of all these, the way that she lives her life and all the things she's done. And my spirit was so grieved, because I'm like, she doesn't even serve God, and my son knows better, you know. I mean, I thought, what is he doing? But I just began to minister, and I began to be so bold, because I don't always, you know, like say things to them, because I just want to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit allowed me to talk to her about Jesus, you know. And I shared with her, and she doesn't believe in God, and she's like, you do you, I'll do me. And I just said, you know, no one can convince me there's not a God, because you guys know me. I'm just a mess, aren't we all, right? I'm so thankful God uses the messes. And so it was just neat to be able to do that. And I thought, if I can't minister in my own home on my couch, but I can go to another country and do it, I'm like, that's not right. So I knew that the enemy was trying to come at me and try to get me discouraged, but I come against that thing and took authority. And that's exactly what happened in Georgia. We took authority over those things, because we have that. God has given us the authority. So those things that were coming against you, whether it be finances, not to do something God's called you to do, or you feel like you don't have a message. Everybody's got a message. God's given each and every one of us. And so the ones that shared, the ones that, you guys that, you know, pray and you support the finances, you guys go with us. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing to see. There are so many hands and feet that it all works together. You might not physically be going, but you are with your prayers. I mean, because we couldn't do it without the finances to be able to go and your prayers. And so I am so very thankful. It was just a beautiful time. It was one of the best trips. I mean, of course, we acted like a bunch of nuts as usual, but I mean, we laughed and we cried and we prayed, and God just spoke so many things, and he spoke so many things to me just in my spirit and confirmation. And it's so neat that one of them said, it's so cool because you in America, you think everybody's got it together over there, but you come here and you speak to us like directly to our heart, and you serve the same God we do. And it's like, we're just women that, you know, we're his daughters. And we're just trying to be obedient and do what God's called us to do. But it was so neat that they realized, hey, just people in America don't have it all together, because look at me, I don't. But we were just talking about the struggles and the things, and so many people would come up, and there was one girl that come up and asked me to pray for her because she had struggles with her husband not coming to church and her kids, and he wanted to keep him home, and then some infertility issues. And I'm like looking for Dara to try to, and she's praying. I'm like, okay, God, I guess this is what I'm doing. I don't know about this, but I'm praying. But I did pray over that and pray that her husband would come back to Christ. And because I know those things, you know, and so maybe you're here today and you think you don't know what to say or what to do. Just use what God's given you. Be available and surrender to him. And so if I didn't do that and just want to do my own thing, I wouldn't be standing here today. And so I am so thankful and so grateful and honored to be a part of what God is doing. And so I thank you, everyone that supported me and loves me through it all. And every single one of them, I'm not just saying that either because I do love these girls, but they really did amazing. And there were so many lives touched and changed. Like, I mean, I don't know if there was ever a dry eye in the house. It was just so beautiful to see all the different things that like we were just like Christy even said, she said, I have never shared the story. She shared one time in Kids Rock in her journey, and she shared that. And there were so many women, and God knew that they needed that. And so through the vulnerability of all of us just trying to do what God wants us to do, he did an amazing work. And I'm so honored to be a part of this. And I thank you guys so much for loving us and sending us and planting that seed. Pastor, I love that word, because I reminded God when I didn't have the finances go, I said, Carla and I are always talking about that. I said, God, you remember I gave on this missions trip. God, I remind him, because he says, test me. And I'm like, God, I'm not sitting here just expecting, like, God, give me the money. I'm like, God, I planted that seed, and that seed's going to grow. And so it's so neat. All the seeds planted, all of those little kids up there that invest and pour into the ministry. Like, you have some of these kids giving hundreds of dollars. Yes, junior children, 10 and under, have given hundreds of dollars. And those little seeds planted, then when you grow and somebody says, you came here just for me, it is just such a humbling experience. And I am so thankful to be a part of it. I mean, I love God, and it's so honoring. So thank you to everyone that loves us, prays for us, allows our pastors to do that. You know, that's not often that pastors get to go and do the mission field, but come back to their home church. A lot of them just leave and go, and they're gone, you know? And so thank you for allowing me to be a part and go. And I'm not going to do any funny stories, because I know they've probably got a lot about me, because I'm the biggest nut of the group, of course. But we laughed a lot. We even wrangled Bella into our little shenanigans, and we had a great time. So anyway, thank you guys so much. All right. I love you all. Next. I have 5 seconds. I did good. 5 seconds.
Tiffany's just going to sit down there and watch. Oh, okay. You might want to get it before it starts crying. Because that's going to happen. Yeah, so. Or do I need to do a motion? Oh, no, Pastor, yeah. That's. Pastor has decided he doesn't like to include me in pictures. He was very mean, like, the whole time. He'd get the other five, and then, oh, where's Dara? Nobody knows, because I'm sitting right there, but I'm not in the picture. It's fine. I'm sure he loves me. It's okay. So, I'm going to start with the God things, and then if there's time, I'll include some of the funny, but 10 minutes, so we'll see how this goes. I spoke about legacy. You know, our conference back in March, it was our 20th, so in addition to it being Captivated, it was also about legacy, and that I was not raised in a Christian household. My parents did eventually make it to a church, but they treated it as like you just say a prayer of salvation and then you can just kind of live however you want. And it wasn't until I came to youth here at Solid Rock that I learned that it was more than just salvation. There was relationship afterwards. And, you know, in the 20 years that I've been in this family, I've been grafted into the legacy of this family. And getting to serve and learn from our pastors, learn from the leadership. You know, Bella mentioned that I was the youngest on the team, which I am. So, you know, they needed me this year. I am younger, which is enough. but to be grafted into the legacy. And there was this woman that shared, she wanted to get a picture with me and the name of my husband and my son. And because she keeps a journal of all of the years of the conference, and she showed me pictures of when Christy was a lot younger. And when she was a young one. But like just the years in that she prays for the speakers, like years later, she's still praying for them. And like, I'm now a part of that journal that she has. And that was just such a humbling conversation to have. And that was a lot of the theme for me was, I was honored, but I was humbled. Like the whole conference, there's not a pretty picture of me when I was speaking because I was crying the whole time. So just the hot mess express, but it was good. You know, I've been sending, Carissa mentioned it, for years, you know, by prayer, by money. But this year I was sent. And, you know, I'm always appreciative and honored whenever I get asked to speak at church here at home, but really felt like a new level of weight to that experience, getting to speak to women who had no idea who I was. You know, I know not everyone here knows who I am, but a lot have been around for years and they've known my story. And so I guess this is more of a comfort because you're my home. Strangers, every single one of them. But it was such an honor to get to speak to them and share what God had done. And it was like a tangible weight of that humility. But my main message was about moments and how if we're not careful that we can end up being stuck in moments and miss what God is wanting to do through them. And that the summation of our existence is not solely in one moment in time, but they're kind of interwoven together. And that God can work them for the good for those that are called and believe in him. Carissa mentioned that my message was about infertility, but it wasn't just that. It was a medical misdiagnosis that was a miracle. I lived through that because I almost died. God brought me through. But then years later, ended up experiencing infertility because of that miracle. And so it was something I had to wrap my head around. And if I wasn't careful, I could tarnish what God did by what I was currently going through. If I didn't have my mind set on past that moment. And so it's important that we keep our eye not on the moment, but on the one who creates the moments. My favorite part of the conference that I probably cried the most, but I cried the whole time. We got to sing You Are Good in Georgian. Well, they were singing in Georgian, but I knew the song because I knew the melody and I could pick it up. And one of the lines was people of every nation and tongue from generation to generation. And then just, I looked around, I'm like, they're singing this in Georgian. I'm singing it in English. There are little kids there and there are old ladies there. It's like a glimpse of what it's going to be like. You know, it's people of at least two nations and tongues singing together to the same God. Carissa also mentioned that we serve the same God, and that is just beautiful. I got through those really fast, so I can share some of the funnies. Right, just checking. So this was the first time I had flown in over 15 years. That time was to Ohio. It was a real short flight. That's the extent of my flying experience before this. And so it was first international flight, and I was a problem anywhere. If someone was having issues, it was me. And it was fun and exciting to be the one in international areas having issues that I couldn't just grab somebody to help me. I almost didn't get into Georgia because Well, that was even just leaving St. Louis. I trouble right off the bat. It was fun. It was a butter knife. I didn't think it was in like this travel kit of utensils because Reddit told me that would be a good thing to have. I'm like, oh, that's great. Didn't think about it. Didn't even open the thing. Didn't use it, so I'm not taking it anywhere else. I should have just thrown it. It's fine. So started off a problem. But then in Georgia, I didn't look like my passport picture because I've lost a lot of weight since I had my passport picture taken. And I got a lot of side eye from the lady. She was talking to her coworker in a language I didn't understand. She did eventually let me in, but then we tried to get from Georgia, like, so that was a problem going, and then coming back, we land in Georgia. No, I'm sorry. We land in Germany, and we have to go through security again, which we didn't have to do going. We went through security one time, and that was it. So on the flight from Georgia to Germany, I filled my water bottle up. It's like, oh, this is great. I can drink on this for the next several flights. And we have to go through security again. She's like, you can't have water. I'm like, well, they gave it to me on the airplane. It's not like I changed it into something dangerous. But there was no bathroom anywhere nearby. The lady was not personable. And one of my bags already went through the conveyor belt and it was on the other side. It's like, I need my bag back if you're going to make me go. And I had to like hike against, I don't know how I said it. I was in a panic. But I, that's my bag. That's, yeah. Do you need to share this part? No? Okay. So, and no one knew why Dara suddenly disappeared because I had to go, like, I don't know, it felt like a mile against the current because everyone's coming down to security and I'm trying to go backwards. And nobody, yeah, everyone else had gone through. They had zero idea, except Pastor knew that I was trying to get my bag and he's laughing at me. And so it was like a good ways back before I could find a bathroom to finally dump my water bottle. So that was exciting. And it stayed empty the rest of the time. I didn't even try. So yeah, I was a problem. I learned a lot flying. I'm now experienced. But Georgia is a beautiful country. There is a mix of like centuries old. Like we went and saw a church from like the 11th century. We don't have that in America. Like that's like the age of the country is just phenomenal. But then there's a mix with the modern. And our Cote, which he's been here and he was, whether by choice or not, he was our driver most of the time. Most of the time. I hope someone shares that because we had a different driver, and that was exciting at one point. But he would point out the differences between the influence of, like, who was occupying Georgia at that time, like Soviet buildings, and those were usually the most dilapidated. So that was pretty interesting to see the different influences within the country. And then there was a fun fact that their cops drive with their lights on all the time. Because I asked him, like, why aren't people pulling over? Like, the cops have their lights on. Like, do they not just pull over for cops? He's like, no. When they're in their patrol cars, they're supposed to have their lights on because their presence is supposed to be known. And that the cops can actually get in trouble if they're trying to be sneaky, which I thought was a great difference from, you know, how it is. They don't have speed traps. Like, that was great. But they should have speed traps because their drivers are crazy. Someone described it as water or like being fluid, and that's 100% right. Because if there was a little bit of space, there was going to be a car there. And it was just, I had like secondhand anxiety for the drivers. And they honk a lot, but it's not aggressive. It's just like, hey, I'm here. Hey, I'm here. Not like driving in St. Louis. If someone honks, they're probably also giving you a one finger wave. And so that was a big difference. And so those were my funnies. But I did also want to end with saying thank you for the opportunity to go, for the support, and most importantly, the prayers while we were gone. Can't do it without our church family. And was so excited to get to be on this side. And, you know, I ended up taking off 2 weeks from work to be able to go. And just thankful for that, to be able to be in a spot that I could do that and to have the time off to be able to go. I now have like zero PTO, so it's fine. It'll build back up. But thank you all so much for your support and while we were out. Thank you.
Okay. Oh my goodness. My sharing will be a little bit different. Does that surprise anyone? Shocking. Okay. Let me find my notes. Okay. So first of all, confess your sins one to another. I went kicking and screaming on this mission trip. Did not want to go. Did not feel well. Was in a tremendous amount of pain. My chiropractor about killed me the week before. I had 3 visits in a matter of 7 days. One of my chiropractor appointments was like an hour and 40 minutes long, just trying to get me to be able to walk and sit. I had 2 doctors tell me I shouldn't go. Like, I was kicking and screaming. I'm like, I can't do this. And of course, our fearful leader, you know, what'd she say? You're going, you're going, you're going, you're going. Suck it up, you're going. She didn't really say suck it up, but that's how I heard it. So I'm like, okay, I'm going. So I went kicking and screaming and in a lot of pain. Some mornings when I would get up, I literally could hardly get out of bed and I could hardly make it downstairs for breakfast. And then once I sat at breakfast for a minute, I could hardly get up to go refill my plate 6 times because I was so sore and in such pain. But by, as the day went on, I did some therapy and did some things and I could walk and I could minister and I could worship and it was good. My phone's locked up. Okay. So just being honest, sharing that with you. And secondly, I just want to say what a blessing and an answered prayer for me, because I've been on several mission trips to several countries, and one of my dreams has always been to go on a mission trip with Carissa. And we got to do it. She supported me on every mission trip that I've gone on, and that's been our dream, that we could go and minister together. And we did it. And how special is that? And not an answer to prayer, but another very unexpected, beautiful thing from God was I got to go with my former student. How many people can say that? That my former student and I got to go and serve and minister together in another country. I mean, that's just God. You can't make this stuff up, you know? Like, that's just God. It's so beautiful. So super excited about that. How many of you remember Bella, our little Bella that came back in the ladies' conference? Raise your hand. You remember Bella? Little Spitfire. She came from Georgia. It was her first trip to the United States. So she's stoked that we're coming, right? Because she's helped plan the conference and she helped translate. It was so fun for us and so fun for her. And it was fun for us to watch her having fun. It was just so special. And something that was even more special is her dad died 4 years ago, and she was very, very close to him. And her mom left them several years ago. And so she's had a hard relationship with their mom because she left all of them. She served alongside her dad, and he's gone. So there's been some brokenness. And I get to the conference, and I look up, and there's Rusa Dawn. I haven't seen her in years. And I'm like, it's her mom. Bella's mom's at the conference. And I'm like, I gave her a big hug. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're here. We get ready to start the conference. Guess who comes up on stage and sings and worships? Bella had arranged with the pastor's wife, Siri, for her mom to sing worship at the conference. So there's her mom up on stage singing. Her mom's brother is our translator. His name is Bato, and so I'm just looking around, and I'm thinking, look at the blessings in Bella's life because of her faithfulness to God. Her mom is in service. She came to the conference. There were just multiple times that her mom was ministered to, and that was like such a blessing to me to watch. And at one point, when her mom was singing on stage, you just kind of have to be there, but her mom's on stage singing, and Bella is squatted down on the ground in front of the girls, translating what her mom is singing, just crying and translating. And I am sitting watching, because I'm at the end of the row, watching her mom sing and her translate. And what a moment. And I want y'all to agree that we're going to keep praying for the Rusa Dawn. And we're going to keep praying for that situation. And God's going to keep moving in her life because he's not done with her. She's so gifted and she's so talented. And I'm so excited. And then even beyond that, Rusa was going to sing. And Bella said, wait, 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 wait. Hey, Bato,
how about you sing with your sister? So then Bato and Rusadan sang together on stage at a ladies' conference. They haven't sung together in years. And they sang, and it was so moving and so beautiful. And then they sang again at another time, and that was beautiful. Our messages, like Krissa mentioned, how they were all the same. I mean, we were sitting there. Those two spoke. I looked at Tiffany, and I said, is your message about kids? She said, yep. I said, this is crazy. Like, all of the girls there, all the ladies thought we'd planned it. Like, we'd organized this, and we said, no. None of us knew what anybody else was talking about. We had no clue. None of us shared our messages with anybody. And we all spoke the same. Like, they were just amazed, just like we were amazed. We were like, whoa, God, what are you doing here? It was so cool. Nino is one of the worship leaders, and she's fabulous. And she sang Bella's song, Captivated, that Bella wrote. And she sang it on stage, and it was so moving and so amazing. She sang it in Georgian, and she was so honored to be able to sing our Bella song, and it was just beautiful. But she came up to me after, and she said, I have been to many, 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 many conferences, but I have never been to a conference like this. She said, this is the best conference that I have ever been to. And she was so thankful and so grateful to be a part of that, and it was very, very humbling. And before I spoke, I told them all, I said, listen to me. I am nothing. I am no different than you. I don't want you looking and thinking, oh, we're the Americans coming in. No. Dara talked about humility. It is so humbling. We wanted them all to know that it was not about us. We were there about God, not about ourselves. So that was super nice that she said that. She said, listen, I've been to many. And she said, this is absolutely the best. I can't wait. I can't wait for next year. That amazes me when people say that right in the middle of the moment, that they can't wait for 365 days past so we can do it again. That's God. One of the other things that was super cool, was it Tiffany? I can't remember who was standing with me. Chris was somebody. We were outside after the conference, and these two young girls came up, and they were so excited. And one of them had videoed the entire second day of the conference. I saw her over there with a camera videoing. I thought, man, that's taking up a lot of storage. That girl wants this. She wants to know, you know. Well, her friend had to work on Saturday, and she was an English teacher. And so she videoed the whole conference for her friend so she could watch the messages. She was like, I didn't want to miss anything. She said, it was so good yesterday. I didn't want to miss anything. She said, I just can't believe that, you know, she was like carrying on and so excited. And she said, I can't believe y'all spoke, and you just, you're in your brokenness, and you all shared your pain. And she said, we got to thinking, and we're like, it's the same God here that's in the United States. She said, we look at the United States and think, oh, everything is great and amazing. And they said, you didn't share great and amazing. You sure broken. You shared pain. You shared what in the world with us. And now we know that the same God that's in the U.S. is in Georgia, and we all pray the same, and we all worship the same. And I thought, wow, that was just so, what a revelation, you know, to them. It was beautiful to hear them saying that we have the same issues and the same God. Another thing that was cool for me, there was this adorable little lady sitting behind me, super, super cute, and she leans up after the first night, and she was like, oh, I am so happy that you're here, and I get to listen to people speak in English. Because she was English speaking. She was from Mexico. She married a husband. Her husband's from Japan, so they were living in Georgia. And she said, I go to a Georgian church. I live in Georgia. And she said, I can't speak the language. She said, she was so encouraged. She's like, this is so cool that I can understand everything and listen to you all minister. And she was so excited about it. And so the next day I was talking to her. Oh, she was also one of the groups. There were some groups that came from the villages. And the place that we were at, they have a college campus, and so they have some dorms. So they let the ladies come and stay. So they had like a slumber party, right? They got to come and stay at church, and they fed them breakfast and lunch, and they just were on campus the whole time. And so she was one of those groups, and she introduced me to her pastor's wife, and just super sweet people. And so the next day, I'm like, so how was your night? And she goes, okay, listen. She said, I went upstairs, and I got my pajamas on, and I'm getting ready for bed, and I'm snuggled in. And she said, then all of a sudden, I hear this noise. I'm like, what in the world? She's like, they are out there partying. So she said, I get out of my bed. I go out there to see what's going on. She said, they had an entire time of reflection on how the conference went. She said, we were singing. They were dancing and worshiping. She's like, we had this big party after the conference. She said, I thought I was going home to go to bed. She said, but boy, did I have another thing coming. So they like had this big party and got to enjoy each other. Isn't that cool? Like, it wasn't just sitting in a boring conference. It brought life to them. And then they brought life to each other, and it was so neat. She was just so excited to get to meet us and hang out with us, which I thought was great. One of my favorite moments of the conference was, and I didn't check time, so somebody can tell me when I'm done. We get to break bread, right? So we had been in church. Bella had preached. It was a Sunday night. And they made this big meal for us. And oh my gosh, this is the day I got sick because I ate way too much sugar. Because they baked all this good stuff and I ate it. And it made me sick. Along with whoever else. I mean, whatever else they ate, who knows. So we were there. We were just eating dinner. Breaking bread. Everybody say breaking bread. Do you remember when Jesus broke bread with his disciples? They were all just snuggled in there together, right? Just around a table, breaking bread. That's what we were doing. And all of the sudden, Bella says, Rusa, can you and Bato sing? And Julia was there, which is Bella's sister. And she said, do you have a guitar? They went and got a guitar, brought a guitar in. Started playing this guitar. The Holy Spirit filled that room. We all very humbly are just sitting in awe going, what is happening? This is so beautiful. Words can't describe it. Videos can't portray it. But the experience of that moment was phenomenal. The word of prophecy came forth. There were prophecies spoken over people from Americans to Georgians, from Georgians to Americans. It was just beautiful. And afterwards, I was reflecting and I said, you know what? We were just breaking bread. There was no agenda. There was no, I'm going to get on stage and get my microphone and lead worship. There was no agenda. This is the order of service. We were just breaking bread. And then the conferences were over. It was done. And in the middle of that, here came the Holy Spirit. And he ministered to all of us very, very deeply in ways that we didn't know we needed. And it was amazing. And I am so, so thankful. I have to say that I'm really proud of Tiffany. If you know Tiffany, she's a little bit of a control freak. Sorry. And she doesn't let Lou drive the car because she has to drive. She has to be in charge. She has to drive the car. Listen up, people. She ain't driving no cars in Georgia. We were in vans. We were in taxi cab vans. And it was hilarious. She did so good, but she was like sinking down in the seat, like, oh, what are we doing? And I am rolling. I'm laughing and videoing her going. But she did it and she made it through and it was hilarious. Her and Dara both. I was just so proud of them. Like, you would have never known they were first time trippers, you know, like to Georgia and that it was all new. They were so cool. They were such good trip takers. Oh, we did have some really funny moments. If you hadn't noticed, I have a fan quite often. Someone looked at me today in this outfit and they said, well, don't you know it's cold outside? Well, this body ain't cold, let me just tell you. This body's hot all the time. If you see me with the fan, shut your face because you just buy me another one. Today I had to loan somebody my second one and I have a third one in the car. And I have to give a shout out to Tiffany who bought me a fan that is rechargeable and has like this air conditioning thing in it. And I use that sucker to 0% battery every day. People would walk by and look at me like, what are you doing? I'm hot. The Georgians, we went for a barbecue. They wanted to borrow my fan so they could fan the flames for their barbecue in the fire pit. I'm like, go ahead, use it. It's fantastic. Use that fan. It's amazing. I said, but don't you bring it back. It better not smell like smoke. So, like, we were just hot. I was hot all the time. I had sleeveless all the time. They had on coats and hoodies and parkas and scarves. And I had on a tank top. Like, so hot. Everywhere we went, the airplane, oh, Lord Jesus, thank God he got me through the airplane because it was so hot. And my fan, Jesus and my fan, we made it. I'm telling you, it was a good time. And, like, sometimes in this certain stage of life, you're just learning all kinds of things about yourself. And older ladies, you might understand me. And one of us even very randomly made up a name for one of the other ones of us. So one of us became Jeremy on the trip, just randomly said the word Jeremy. So this was Jeremy the whole trip because sometimes our brains get foggy and we say weird things. And that happened on this trip quite a bit. Made it even more interesting. time. 1 minute? Gosh, I've done great. I'm past a minute. I got Chris's 5 seconds. The last thing, and Tiffany, are you going to talk about it? We're all going to talk about it at the end, okay? The taxi cab ride. Okay? I might play the audio from the taxi cab ride. You can hear it going, I mean, like, it was so interesting. So after Tiffany does her serious talk, then we're going to talk about the taxi cab ride. Okay? We're all going to come up and chime in because it was quite an adventure. Anyway, it was an absolute blast. Loved every minute of it, even diarrhea on the airplane. I mean, come on. Does it get better than that? On multiple airplanes on a Tuesday that lasted 76 hours, the 76-hour day with diarrhea on the airplane, folks. This is what mission trips do for you, okay? Good times. Okay, come on, Tiffany. But I'm better now, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jeremy.
It's me. I'm the one that didn't have a brain. Gosh. So they're literally, hold on, I got to set myself a timer button. I've got all the things. Hold on. Hold, please. Christy's talking about my anxiety, but that's actually one of the things that I really want to share with you guys because I'm normally even much worse than Christy knows. And so I have very, very high anxiety. It's, I guess you would call it PTSD from when I was young, was in a really, really bad accident and anything that doesn't matter now. But anyway, so not having control of a vehicle is really hard for me. And I hate to fly. Hate, double hate. I don't like taking off, and I don't like landing because do you know how much an airplane weighs? We're not meant to fly. We don't have wings, but they do, so whatever. But anyway, so, like, I seriously, like, I have, like, these techniques that my chiropractor gave me on how to, like, calm myself and, you know, tap my temples and right here. It's fine. Don't worry about it. It works. But anyway, so I was prepared mentally, I thought, and so we took off, and I realized, well, that's kind of fun. And so flying all the way to Never Never Land, I had zero anxiety on the airplane. So I was like, Mom, I didn't get nervous at all. Isn't that weird? That's weird, right? And then the driving, the traffic, it's better now, they say, than it used to be, but it is not for the faint of heart. Even walking next to the traffic on the safe sidewalks, you do not use the crosswalk because it is literal Frogger. So it is crazy. So Cote, he drove us everywhere, and I just expected to be, like, freaking out, like, okay, I can take some meds. It's fine. I can tap and take meds. And I realized, look at all this traffic. That's nuts. Look at all this traffic. That's so crazy. And then I was like, And I was not freaking out, and I was not scared. And you just don't know. Like, I've been nearly debilitated with anxiety before. So, and I've had panic attacks, and it's not cute. And it's embarrassing because other people are like, what are you so afraid of? Well, I don't know. I can't. If I could fix my brain, I would, obviously. But God can. So I had zero travel anxiety. And there, I mean, when she described the driving, it's nuts, y'all. Like, I think I probably could ride with Max now and be okay. I think the Lord has done a good thing. That's big. And then the whole trip, aside from the first 5 to 7 minutes of our taxi ride, where I was absolutely positive that we were getting kidnapped and taken to a cargo ship. We were going to get stuck in the Suez Canal, and we were going to be trafficked. And that was, I mean, I was pretty sure of that for like 5 to 7 minutes. And then I was like, I was like, Mom. And she's like, don't forget how to do the chokehold. I was like, yes, I'm sitting behind him. I can do that. because I've watched lots of movies, so I can do that. But it was scary for a minute, but then it got really entertaining. And driving back with him, we again thought that he was going to kidnap us, but he didn't. But I digress. Anyway, the most important thing is that I have a fear of speaking. Now, that sounds surprising because I get up here and I do announcements and I sing and I emcee the conference, and that took me a long time to be able to develop into the, I don't know if you call it ability or not, but I do it, for our ladies' conferences. Thanks. But as the time to speak came closer and closer and closer, again, I had mentally prepared myself to have a freak out, and I was just as calm and cool. I had no fear, and I thought, I'm here for a reason and a purpose. And it was miraculous. Y'all, if anybody who really, really, really knows me knows that that was a miracle. And so I got to share with these beautiful women. And like they said, we all shared our... Mom said, I want you girls to tell your story. And we all know each other's story-ish. But it was literally, like they said, like we had puzzle pieced it together and shared our journey and shared hope and shared life and shared, if we can do it, you can do it. You can walk through this. It's okay to have the questions. It's okay to say why, but you still have to trust. And it was a beautiful thing. And so it was easy to talk to them. In fact, I talked too long. what? Excuse you?
I did not. I stayed with them.
She
was way over.
She was. Anyway, I wanted to share a scripture because I shared this in my message because it was about not knowing what's coming, not knowing how to get through hard times, not knowing what your future holds, not knowing, but still being okay and having confidence and waiting on the Lord. And so I did Romans 8:26-28 from the Message version. That says, meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs. I have a lot of wordless sighs. Knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our life of love for God is worked into something good. So, that's big. That's really, really big, and I wanted those women to grasp that, because me being on this trip was a miracle. Just the fact that I accepted, I wasn't even invited. I just said, I have to go. And most of you, a lot of you were here at the ladies' conference when God just got a hold of me on Friday night and just dropped his word, what his plan was for me, and me bawling like a big baby, and all I could do was say, okay. And I told my mom, like, I know what I have to do. Okay. And that was in March, and so then in October, I was in Republic of Georgia answering the call that God had given me. And I'll be in Africa in April, and then I'll be in Georgia again, and then I'll be in Myanmar, and wherever else we go, because that's what I'm supposed to do. Now, I don't know how, but I don't have to. I don't have to. That's really freeing. It's very, very freeing, because I don't have the ability in myself for so many areas of this. But he does, and he's just so good. He's so good to us. And if we'll just let him be, if we'll just shut up and let him be who he wants to be through you, life-changing. It was so amazing to get to put faces to the names that I've been listening to for like 20 years. I'm like, oh, Bato, got it. You know, oh, Rusadon, okay. But when they worshiped, we had no idea what. If we got to recognize a song, it was really exciting. We were like, oh, we can do this one. And we tried to sing along, but then, anyway. But you didn't have to know what they were saying because the Spirit of God, your hearts were so like knit and intertwined. It was just beautiful. Anyway, God's good. And I was so humbled and honored to get to be there. And even if I just went and sat and watched, you know, that's what I would have picked to do, is just let me just take this first one in. Let me just take it in, you know, observe and stuff. And we did have so much fun. We are such idiots. My gosh. You put us sleep-deprived perimenopausal and menopausal women together, and Dad, God love him. He's not innocent. He is not innocent. I don't know what he says. Anyway, but we laughed until it hurt. I mean, I think they're going to show a video of some really stupid things that we did, but it was just amazing. And there's probably a bunch of other things that I should have said, but I say thank you, Solid Rock, because like they said, if it wasn't for you, we couldn't go. And, you know, Jesus said, you know, if I call you, you should go. And the guy at the pool said, I have no man to carry me in. And he's like, well, just go. So I was like, God, I don't have the money for this. I can't say I didn't go to Bible college because I did. But that was different. But anyway, I said yes, and I went, and thank you to all of you who supported us in any way, shape, or form. And thank you for buying WAW products, because that's literally, we gave away millions, thousands of dollars worth of stuff, probably. Honestly, I'm not exaggerating, and that's because of you guys. I mean, I shot them poor little Georgian ladies right in the head with my slingshot. Literally, their ceilings were low, and my shot is bad. But anyway, okay, that's 10 minutes and 51 seconds. I have to stop.
Yes, it was quite the conference for sure. They were all amazing, beautiful women of God, and shared their story. Just real quickly, we're going to wind this down. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for believing in what God is doing to women and in women around the world. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8 says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And that is exactly what we as a church are doing. And I know they've said to you and they've talked to you, but it's just amazing to me how this congregation has embraced missions. But it's a heartbeat of God for every church, for every person. We can't all go to the same place. You know, the church down the road, God's given them a mission. And it's up to them as a church and a body of Christ to make sure that vision is fulfilled. But God has also implanted in every one of our hearts a purpose, and that is to see someone's life changed. We're to go, and we're the ones that are to preach the gospel. I'm going to go through this real quickly. So we know that not every church has the same vision, but we're all commissioned to go. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And if you have the Amplify, the AMPC, it's just a simple scripture, but let's throw it up there, Blake. When every child of God personally, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, which is the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race. God's purpose is that every human race gets to hear the word of God so that the Spirit of God can tug with their hearts. And so I believe that it's the greatest call that we can have is to reach someone else. There's people in your family that need Jesus. And so you have a mission to fulfill. We want to, number one, we thank you so much, Solid Rock, for answering the call. We've done it as a church. We've done it collectively over the years. And so thank you. Who would have ever thought that God could use all of us, you know, and use us so wonderfully, and we're not the biggest congregation in town, but God said, I have a purpose for you. And together, we've all done that locally all these years. I was thinking back, you know, I remember every once in a while, every time I get my hair fixed, Sarah, she has a T-shirt for me. And it's a T-shirt that we use, and it's called You Got Gas. And what we did is we did this about two or three times. I don't really know. But we'd go to a service station and work it out with them. And the last one we did was when gas was extremely high. And we paid 57 cents a gallon on someone's gas. But we've done different things through the years. We started off at 25 cents or whatever. But, you know, and I just think of the local ministries. In the last several years, we've been working with Lincoln School, just loving on them. You know, and because some of them, they don't go to church. But they do recognize love. They recognize it. And they can't wait to come over for Christmas because we feed them Christmas dinner and they want fufu sandwiches. You know, we have that rapport with them, and we prayed with them, and God is using. But there's so many other ministries that our youth is involved in, and different ones. So I'm not going to take time to go through all of them. But we're going to show a video that Jessica made for us. When I say Jessica, I'm talking about Jessica and Ilya. And they made this video, so we want you to watch it. It's just a couple minutes, but it's really good.
Hello.
That's just the way we are.
This ministry, and so we want to say thank you, but we want to take you through just a little bit of the year. In March,
we celebrated our 20th anniversary ladies conference at Solid Rock, the Captivated Conference, and we had a wonderful time during that time. We had guests coming in from all around the world, with many visitors. What a great time we had in March.
And Solid Rock, I know you had a blast because you got to see some of the international pastors and leaders, and I know that was a lot of fun for you.
Yes.
And so from there, we took the Captivated Conference and went to Tanzania, and what a great time we had there. And then we had a leadership conference also.
Yeah. Bishop Solomon in Tanzania always welcomes us, and we had great service, great attendance.
Yes.
And then from Tanzania, we went by car all the way to Nairobi, Kenya, and we had another conference.
Yes.
Was that a good one too?
Which was absolutely amazing. And Solid Rock, thank you, because the pastors in these countries, they so appreciate the fact that you send your leaders, and our heart is just to pour into leaders, because God has put leaders in our lives through all these many years to bless us. And so, and then another WAW conference, and we had a great time. And so here we are in Tbilisi to kind of wind down the missions that we've done outside of Solid Rock.
A great thing about this conference was you invited four of your girls, WAW girls, to come with you, and we were blessed to have Lily and Jessica with us as well. So had a great conference, a two-day ladies conference.
Yes, and it was so much fun, but the women were so blessed. And Solid Rock, you really are blessed, and you don't understand the impact that you are making around the world, literally, whether it's leadership or whether it's women around the world. And I have to tell you that the women are so excited about what God is doing in these countries.
So thank you, Solid Rock, for your support. Thank you for your financial support. Thank you for your prayer support. Thank you for believing in women around the world. It is making a difference. God bless.
Amen. Yeah. We have a couple of about two more short-lived videos we're going to show you. While we were gone, WAW, in fact, I just sent it off today. In the service on Sunday morning, God just moved upon our heart. There was a pastor there. We had been to the church before in Tel Aviv. We had two leadership conferences and two women's conferences there. But the pastor was living in the basement when we were there. Long story short, he's got a house, but the roof is bad. So WAW, I just sent $500 through Zelle today, this morning, to help pay on the roof. And then pastor and I pledged $2,000 to finish a classroom at Brother George's church. That's where I preached on Sunday night. Love George and Nina. Anyway, huh? It's a Bible college room is what we're helping to finish up. And pastor and I have committed to that. If you want to help, you can. But we committed and we're going to do it. The greatest honors, I believe, I don't know, there's so many great honors to have anybody when they go on the trips. These aren't easy trips, but there's something about it. You know, before we left, all of these girls had complaints. Every one of us, you know, I supposedly had a rib out of place when I left. It was just a mess. But the Lord gave me a scripture, and I went, and I shared it with the girls, and it was one thing. And it was, as we go, we will be made whole. And I'm telling you, it was true. A most amazing thing. All those aches and pains and gripes and groans, God still just did a wonderful thing. Okay, the next thing we're going to show you real quick, and that is the Captivated song being done in Georgia. And that is so touching. And so we're going to share that with you. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. That was I was so honored. That was so cool. I'm trying to skip a lot. Singers from there was a group of women that came from different villages and different cities, and there was a group of them that came from Batumi. And if you ever look up the history and all of Georgia, you'll see that Batumi is a very large city. We've been there for conferences before, but it's been a few years. But that was some of the ladies that we were able to bring in. By the way, church, we did over $12,000 to $13,000 on this trip. And you know how it come in? Through you guys and us being able to take our gifts that somebody outside gives us, all of this product, and we get to go sell it. And God is just, he's amazing what he does. But thank you. But the singer, they were from Batumi. And as you notice, this little lady that sang the song, they are also talented. They are just quiet musicians, very, very good. One of the churches we went to a few years ago, they had singers that were opera singers and teachers. They just are so good when it comes to the fine arts. But anyway, they asked, Pastor Darryl got a text from the lady that sung it, and she said one of the women from Batumi wanted to know if it would be okay if they took that song and sang it as part of their worship. And so Nino gave that to them. Siri and the Georgian women, they said that we must do a two-day conference next year. So we've kind of spoiled them with that, and so we're looking forward to it. We're going to show you one more video. And I have like one more scripture, just a couple comments, and then we're going to let you go. This was the after party. That's Bato, Rusadon, and Julia. We wanted to share just a little bit of the atmosphere with you. We have so many videos, so many pictures. We can't share all of them. I'm so blessed to hear about the journal. That's amazing. I never heard that story. There's so many stories. Georgia, Bella, which we all know from Georgia, she got a message from one of the women that we administered to. And we just really encourage them to what we've been preaching here, what we preached in March, but just encourage them to begin to write down the thoughts of the Lord. Begin when God gives you something, write it down. Or you have a thought and you may think this is silly, but I would encourage all of you, you know, we have to write our own story or the pages are going to be left blank. We have to tell our own story. But I just encourage them to sing a song to the Lord when you're overwhelmed and on, and you all have heard it, but I thought this was so sweet. And she said that the, one of the ladies that you said, write a song of victory. She took Simon Peter's Confession of Faith, and she began to sing. And it's out of Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 18. And I would, in my own mind, I'm trying to think, how did she do that? But remember the psalmist, we have some of the King David's psalms, you know, they sang those before the Lord. But I just saw, I got to thinking about this, and I thought, how in the world would you do this? I don't know. But maybe she did something like this. One day Jesus turned into his disciples and asked, who do you people say is the Son of Man? I don't know how she did it in her language, but the whole passage of Scripture, she used that Scripture and she began to sing a song of the Lord. If we, as human beings and have the Word of God, if we would begin to sing the Word of God, the promises of God, when depression tries to hit, when trouble begins to strike, we begin to sing and say what the Word of God says. So that was just really exciting to me to hear because they're hungry and they're thirsty. As pastors, we want to always present missions. Will the worship team come back up? It's our desire is to always present that we are to go into the whole world. We are the ones that are to tell the good news. We are the ones. If we can't go, we send. But that doesn't stop us from going, because everywhere that you go, there are opportunities for us to witness and to share the love of Jesus. And I just thought today, as we end this up, thank you for being patient, but we really did want to share a little bit of what went on. Because so many times we come back and we don't get to share. And I know that you all trust us and all, but if we could move you all and we could all take that big bus together, Airbus together, and we could all go together, that would be the greatest thing, but we can't. But some of us can go and come back and share, because it's a big old world out there and God is touching so many people. And Solid Rock, we have been part of for a long time what God is doing, Pastor. Yes, we. I don't know if you got the podcast up or get... tonight. Okay. We did do a podcast. We had a lot of fun. We did do a podcast while we were there and sent it to Chris. And it was while we were at Georgia. And it really was. It turned out to be a really, really good podcast. Ilya and Jessica were with us and the girls and Pastor. And it really was a really precious time and moments. But I was thinking, we have our teens down here today, and we have, you know, middle-aged, young, 20-year-old, 30, 40, 50, 60. I don't know of anybody past that, but no. Well, a few. Anyway, you may be sitting here in the audience today, and you're like, you know, that all sounds glamorous and all. And no, it's humbling. It's very humbling. But maybe, just maybe, somebody sitting in this audience today and you have felt the tug and think, God, you know, I don't know how you could ever use me. But maybe we could just be like Isaiah that said, here I am, Lord. God touched his life. See, when your life has been touched, you change. And when God has touched your life, there's probably some here that... God has touched your life in many, many ways. And when you begin to be indwelt by God about yourself, that's when you know that God's at work. Because Isaiah, in that moment, he said, I am unclean. He saw himself, because we never quite measure up to do what God calls us to do, or what he has planned for us to do. But the Word of God tells us that an angel touched his lips, and instantly Isaiah understood that that call, there was a great call, commission. Lord, here I am. Here I am. Send me. And you may think, I don't know how God could use me, but God wants to use every individual that's in here. I never asked to do what I'm doing. I just stand back in amazement and shocked and excited and thankful and grateful and humbled how God can use a life. Maybe you're sitting here today and you think, I don't know how God could use me. But you also feel that saying yes. 19, probably 86, 87, 88, I don't know, somewhere 89, sitting in a, you've probably heard this, but maybe somebody hasn't, sitting in a missions conference. And I was listening to Daisy Osborne, who was, her and her husband traveled the world over. And she was telling about Africa. And she was just telling about her experiences and what God was doing, touching people's lives. And I was sitting in a seat just weeping and crying, so touched. And the thought came to me, God, if you can use Daisy Osborne, could you possibly use me? Maybe there's just someone here today that God is moving on your heart. And you know that there's something more that God wants you to do. You're never too young and you're never too old. Pastor Darrell and I are having the time of our life. We really are. And we're 75 years. We see a lot of people that do double takes, and it's nothing in ourselves except we keep saying yes over and over and over again. So we're never too old and we're never too young. Would you stand to your feet? What is it that led us into missions? What was it? What happened? What caused that call to come? It was being in love with Jesus and just saying yes. We're gonna sing Captivated in English. Some of you probably could follow along a little bit with the other. But we're captivated by his love. The price that he paid for us is just, it's overwhelming. The love that he has for us. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I know this has been a different kind of service, but it's all about the fact that he saved us, he changed us. That's why we can do what we do. That's the only reason. But maybe you don't know Jesus, but you want to, and you're here today. We're not going to ask you to close your eyes or whatever. We're just going to say, if you would like to know Jesus and you don't, we want you to just come forward. We want to pray with you. If you're sitting here today and maybe you're a little cold in your relationship with God, you said, I know that I'm doing my own thing. And do you know that doing your own thing is the most boring thing you'll ever do? Because once you've tasted and see the goodness of God, there's no comparison. There is no comparison. There's nothing that will fill that inside of you until we be submissive to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe you sit here today and you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit and you just want to say, yes, yes, God, I don't know what you want to do with me. I don't know what your plan is. I just want to say yes. No pressure. Not going to be embarrassed if no one comes down. I just want to make that opportunity. And as we sing Captivated by Your Love, that was our conference. But that's our heart because he's so good.
Captivated by Your Love. All of your grace, your hope. holiness encloses me, Lord. Each time I seek your face, as you wrap your arms around me, surrendering I come, captivated by